Hey teachers, session number 5 in Numbers and Deuteronomy. This covers Numbers 22 to 13. This particular lesson is dealing with a circumstance where Moses and Aaron find themselves dealing with complaining people. The people of God wandering the wilderness and they've run out of water. And so they're dealing with trusting in God. They're dealing with the people not trusting in God. And how do we respond to that? So our objective sentence is this: God's people should trust God in every situation, but we often don't. Numbers 20 gives us 3 insights into that reality of trusting God in our own lives. We see three kind of phases to this, all dealing with this idea of trust. 3 insights. The first one is the problem. People face problems. Let's read about the problems here. Verse 2, and there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought us, the congregation of the Lord, into this wilderness, and that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore you have made us to come out of Egypt and to bring us into this evil place. It is no place of cedar, of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. It's amazing to me in these particular stories of Exodus and Numbers, the people coming out of Egypt. It's amazing to me. One of the things we see is people, like, do people really want liberty? I think they actually would rather have security than liberty oftentimes. Here is like, I miss the food. I miss the pomegranates and the figs and the vines. I miss the seeds, you know, and then they would rather be slaves with halfway full stomachs than to be free men in the promised land. Kind of crazy. But they are questioning God, and when they do, they question God's leaders. They're facing the problems, and the problem didn't point them to trusting God or to trusting their leaders. The problem pointed them into a lack of trust. Really, really important thing. People, this happens a lot. It happens to me whenever things are hard. That's when I tend to question God. When things are going great, I tend to think that I'm the source of the good in my life. When things aren't going well, that's when I tend to, think that God is, you know, God, why haven't you helped me? Where are you at? You know, and that's what's going on here. So God gives a plan. That's number 2, the plan. The second kind of insight, God gives a plan. Verse 6, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Is this a good plan? I think it is. You know, they run into this difficulty. They're the leaders. We're going to seek God for what we should do next. And so they do, and they, it says they fell on their faces. That's not a bad posture. It's a good posture, right? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thy rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and be their beasts to drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. You see here the plan. God gives them a plan. The specifics of that plan are, you're going to go to this rock and you're going to speak to the rock. You're going to take your rod, but you're going to speak to the rock. And when you do, the water's going to come, because essentially he's saying, obviously God is going to provide the water. And so Moses and Aaron go to execute. We see this result. We've already seen distrust in the people. We've seen some trust in Moses and Aaron, at least to go to God for it. But look at what happens. Verse 9, as we've already read, Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels. Oh, wow. Okay. That doesn't sound very loving. Hear now, ye rebels. It's true, but yeah. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Moses here is claiming at some level that he's at least part of what's creating the provision. He's saying we. He doesn't sound like he's very happy. Sounds pretty upset just in the word choice. We can't hear his tone in the written word, but we can read into it a little bit by what he's calling them, by this like imperative. Hear now. Listen to me, you bunch of rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Verse 11, and then what did he do? Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. So God had told him to speak to the rock. Instead, he strikes the rock. Clearly, the more active, more, you can almost see rage in it, right? He's hitting it. He doesn't just do it once. He does it twice. He seems to be somewhat out of control. The water came out abundantly. That's grace. God still gave them the water. The congregation drank and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. And here's where he gives them his commentary on their actions, or at least on Moses' action. Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Interestingly, there is disobedience here. God said to speak. Moses struck. But God gives the very specific reason why, that, like, what was the infraction? What was the problem that God had with what Moses did? He says, because ye believe me not. So there's a lack of unbelief that was born out in his disobedience. But he also said, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Sanctify means to set apart. Moses didn't set God apart from him. Moses cited, or at least kind of almost like claimed, the results that God was about to do as if he was a part of them, as if the striking of the rock or the speaking to the rock was the thing that created the water, as if he was as much their provision as God was, as if, and he's doing it in this very like unloving kind of rage with the people that people of Israel. And so it seems as if there's a distrust in the sense of not trusting God enough to be obedient to do what he says. He feels like he's got to go back to striking instead of speaking. There's disbelief here. He says, literally, you believe me not. And that's kind of an interesting question, right? Like, and I think this is where the application comes in to a certain degree. We serve the Lord, and sometimes we begin to believe that the results, if there are results happening in our ministries and in what we're doing, we tend to think that we're the source of them. And really, at the end of the day, not just at the end of the day, all the way through the day, any results that come because God does them. And for us to claim the power of God or the fruit of the ministry that God allows us to do is to try to rob glory from him and to not sanctify the Lord in our eyes. Like, someone's life wasn't transformed because you happened to give the gospel to them because you're the one that did it. They were transformed. No, the gospel transforms, and God uses human means, but at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit's what regenerates. God's the one that saves. Jesus is the one who provided salvation by dying on the cross, and he responds to our faith, but he's the one that regenerates. He's the one that works. If somebody gets healed, even when the disciples were healing people, you know, as a sign to Israel and as a validation of their message, yes, God used them to do the healing, but they weren't healing. God was healing through them. They didn't have the capacity to do that. And we know that because there are physical ailments Paul had. He healed people in one scene and couldn't heal in another. So that's part of what's going on. And so I think one application as we think about this lesson is the stewardship we have is a stewardship that begins and ends with obedience. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to trust God enough to actually obey God. And then watch him do what only he can do. That's what you need to do in your class. That's what you need to do with the people in your class. That's what you need to do in the ministries that you have. You need to sanctify God. God has a place in your life and in the lives of your people that you ought not to have in your own heart and in the hearts of those people. It's all about God. I hope this helped us. As you think through the lesson, we need to trust God. We need to trust God by being obedient to him, by doing the ministry that he called us to do, and then leaving the results really up to him. Hope this helped you. Have a great week.